There are Bibles in the pews, or use your own. Beginning with the first verse of chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. May God bless the reading of his word. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful place that we live in, the beauty of your creation around us that's revealed in such a stunning way in the fall weeks as the leaves turn and begin to fall. We're just reminded of your infinite wisdom in creation, both in our bodies and the world around us, but also in the way you have made the plan to draw us back to you after we've fallen away from you. Thank you for the gift of your Son, his sacrifice that makes it possible for us to be joined together in your family, that we don't have to wallow in our sins, to feel guilty, but we can lay those things at the foot of his cross, knowing that you have forgiven them and you have made us white as snow in your eyes. Thank you for the privilege that we have of gathering together to fellowship and worship you. Thank you for this building that you allowed us to build, to gather in, for the privileges that we have as your people, for the freedoms that we have in this nation. We pray for those freedoms, that you will protect them. We know in this day and age so much is changing so rapidly. Protect your people. Protect the truth of your word. May it go out so that others may hear and their lives may be transformed by it. May our lives be regularly transformed by it, Lord, as we hear it, its spoken word, in our time of fellowship together. May we gather together individually in groups and study that word. May we study it ourselves in our homes so that it really becomes a part of us. We thank you for those who we support in other places who have given their lives to serving you, to bring that word and your message of love in practice to many others. We thank you for Brian and Sandy's presence here with us this morning. Pray that you'll bless their ministry with Starlight in Boston as they serve those who are homeless and in need of love and direction in their lives. May they help provide that through you. We pray for our other missionaries in different areas of the world, the communities in Africa, the ministries in Haiti. We pray for Minako and her ministry through Navigators in the D.C. area and her visit coming up as well in a couple of weeks. We pray for Ron and Bonnie Johnson as we've just seen them and they're still traveling, that you will keep them safe as they visit other places, and even as Ron is in a church in New Jersey now. Bless their ministry and be with them as they return to their home in Washington State and minister to the military families and international students there. We pray for the crisis pregnancy centers that we support here, both in Bennington and North Adams, that you would bless their ministries as they reach out to people who may have made wrong choices in their lives and now have to deal with that. May they provide the loving support that gets them back on their feet, provides not only for their physical needs, but for their spiritual needs. Lord, we thank you again for your presence with us. We pray that you will bless our worship this morning, that worship time will bring honor and glory to you, and bless Brian as he brings your word to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Fred.
So I'm sitting there, and I saw everyone's leaving the place, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I think I'm supposed to get up there. And then I saw Bryce, so I knew everything was that. It's good to be home. And this is really my home. When Bryce said it, I really came to know who Jesus was here. This is a place that really helped me to understand who Christ was in my life and what he really wanted in my life. And what I should do and how I should live. But many of you probably don't know me because you think I'm kind of, if we were a family, then I'm that crazy uncle in Boston that, you know, does some stuff. But the issue is that God has knit us together. And so by knitting us together, he makes us family. And one of the things that we've seen today already is that sometimes when you get together, the family hurts. You know, losing a child, losing a loved one. I personally was really struck a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to the sermon that Doug was preaching, and he was sharing about the fact that Zig Zizinski had gone to be with the Lord. These are hard things. This touches you as a family, you know? And it makes you think, like, what is God doing? How is he doing it? And so we need to really fix our eyes on who he is. So let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would be the one to use me today, not with any words or wisdom that I would have, but that there would be words that would come from you. Father, we want to be more like you. We want to have our lives be molded in your way, by your touch. So, Lord, we ask that you would be with me today. Let anything that I say that is not of you fall away like dross and be not even remembered. We just pray, God, that you would be the one to take the words that are in this passage so that we could apply it well to our life. We ask this in your name. Amen. So it was not last Friday, but the Friday before, and I was working at the offices, and we run a support group, a 12-step group, that is for people who are struggling with addictions. And so what happened was I got this frantic call that there was this man that really wanted, he wanted something, he wanted clothes. We have a drop-in center, so we can give clothes and we can give some toiletries and all of those things. And what I found is it was like in the most inconvenient time for me to do it. There was a conference call that I was having for this ministry that we're working with refugees. There was all sorts of stuff that was happening. And it just so happened that my friend David was there. And David has struggled with alcohol for a while, and then he unfortunately landed in jail, but the Lord saved him in jail. And what he did is it actually made him a person that not only loves the Lord, but loves to work with people that are struggling with addictions. And so I said, well, this is great. So why doesn't the person come over? When I saw the guy, he was just in all sorts. He hadn't slept for 2 or 3 days. He had been sleeping out on the in the public garden, different places. He was half crazed in what his life looked like. He couldn't speak. He was speaking so fast that I couldn't keep up with him. Even me, and I speak fast. And so as we kept on trying to do this, one of the things that I found is that he was in a cycle of drug addiction, jail, looking for drugs, drug addiction, jail, looking for drugs. And it was a cycle that was killing him. It was a cycle that wasn't doing anything for him. And he died and was begging to be able to have something that would be good for him. And so I started sharing a little bit about Scripture, but he didn't want to hear from me. What he wanted to hear was my friend David. Because David had struggled with those addictions. David had struggled with that pain. David had struggled with all those things. And he had insightful knowledge into this guy's life. And so what happened is, as the conversation kept on going, what we really learned is the fact that David could speak so directly into this guy's life that it was starting to make him change. Now, we were about to pray for him. You know, that's what we Christians do, right? We pray for people, right? So as I was going to pray for him, he goes, "Well, why don't you pray for my mother and all that?" And David stopped him. He said, No. We're praying for you. Because when we pray for you, we want this cycle to be changed. We believe that this cycle is going to be changed. We believe that things are going to get better, that you are going to have a breakthrough in your recovery. Is that what we believe? Is that what we believe? If we believe that Jesus is the one that loves us and cares for us deeply, then we have to know that he will come to us even when we are desperate. Have any of you been desperate? When you're desperate, that's when you come to Jesus. When you're desperate, you know that you need him more than anything else. I'd like to talk to him sometimes because I don't want to be so desperate all the time. But the fact is that God puts desperation in our lives sometimes that we have to respond in responding to him. That's the only way we grow. That's the way that we see him, is when we see him act in our lives. When we just live our lives as if nothing matters, that it's just, we're just made to just go and walk along just for ourselves, that is not the way we were created. We were created by our God for the purpose to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. He did not want to put us just in hermitage caves. He didn't want us to have isolated and be alone from everyone else. He wanted us to be in love with him and be in love with others because of what he does in our life. That's what desperation does. Desperation propels you towards God. You need to be able to have God. But sometimes the thing that gets in our way is ourselves. We believe sometimes that God made this life for us, that when I came to Christ, that it should be a life of wonderful roses every day, that I'll just walk daily, never having any struggle, never having any persecution, and that's the exact opposite of what the Christian life is. So any of you that were caught up in that and thought, well, I'm just going to be able to accept Christ and I'll just never have a problem again. I hate to, maybe I shouldn't say this, but that just doesn't happen. Fact is, if you know Jesus, you're going to suffer pain. And what he wants to do is to be able to be with you in that pain. And sometimes it's not to take the pain away. Sometimes it's to help you understand that he loves you even through that pain. Sometimes we pray, right? And we pray and say, God, heal this or do this for me. Maybe what he wants to do is just be present with us and hold us. When you are desperate, you need that reassurance. You need someone to come to you to say that you have the ability to love you well. And you need him to be able to do that. But sometimes we forget that we had a former life. And sometimes that forgetting of a former life starts to romanticize that our former life was just really kind of good. You know, we remembered all the good things. Last night as we were driving up, Sandy and I, we got a late start. I'll take the blame. It's me. But one of the things is as we're driving, we're going from Irving to the foot of the Mohawk Trail. And what, you know, I said to Sandy is, I said, well, I remember walking that, Irving from the Mohawk Trail, one night before I was a believer. I needed to see Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan was in Boston. I needed to see him. So I had gone and I hitchhiked all the way to Boston. And, of course, I had such a wonderful plan that I was going to get back by hitchhiking back on Route 2. You ever tried to do that at night? Not really good. So the plan wasn't that good. But what I was sharing to Sandy is that the result of the plan was that I was in a lot of danger. Fact is that God protected me. Even in my foolishness, even in my silliness, God protects us and loves us. Fact is, our former life was not always as nice as we pretended to be. That sometimes this foreign life is what was described in Colossians chapter 3. Can you read it with me? Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of his Creator. God made you not to do those lists. And what happens is that we have a sinful nature that is inside each one of us that yearns to rebel. It wants to do what it wants when it wants. That earthly nature is the thing that continues to try to trip you up. It will try to get its needs wanted at whatever time it has. When it's the time that you're hungry, you want the food, and you're going to have more of the food that you're going to have. It's when you want sex, and you're going to have sex all the time. The fact is that God tells you that you have a new life. That life is to put a cap on the things that are of your earthly nature. Your earthly nature will destroy you. How many people do you know whose lives have been destroyed by this list? That they have been able to be involved in sexual immorality, that, you know, they've had lust, they've had all these evil desires. The fact is, they're you. They're us. We have had those experiences when we didn't know who Jesus was. But now that we know that he's there, it doesn't mean he just throws all of those away. Each and every day, we need to be able to go back to him and say, God, forgive me for what I was thinking. God, forgive me for what I have done. God wants honesty in our relationship with him. And as we do that, he's able to lead us, he's able to direct us, and we're able to know which way we're going to go. One of the things that I became aware of is that this summer, I went to my 40th high school class reunion. Like I said, I graduated high school when I was 9. But the idea is that when I sat there, I was sitting with people, and I could see myself 40 years ago. And when I saw myself 40 years ago, I didn't like what I saw. That unless Christ had come in and changed my life, unless Christ had done things that would make me understand that the Holy Spirit is inside of me and can change me and make me a new person, that I would have been just like the people that I was surrounded with. You know, and it just came to that there was really not much to the life. I had one guy, he came up to me before we went to the anniversary or the celebration, and he goes, hi, you know, you remember me, Brian. We used to play in Carrington Avenue, and you know, I live down in Florida now, and I make millions of dollars in real estate. And then, you know, he went away. We go to the dinner that we're supposed to have. Same guy comes up to me. Hi, Brian. Remember me? We used to play in Carrington Avenue, and I now live in Florida, and I made millions of dollars in real estate. Okay? All right? You just told me that, but that's okay. Hey, you know? Comes up to me at the end of the dinner. Hi, Brian. How you doing? He goes, I just want you to know that we used to play together on Carrington Avenue in Billerica, that I now moved to Florida, and I've made millions of dollars in real estate. And so I was trying to figure out, why is he doing this, right? But that's what was important in his life. That was the important. He wanted me to know that he made millions of dollars in real estate. Now, my boss, Jeff, should have told me I should have asked him for a donation, but, you know, that's But the fact is that we were made in an image of God, but this earthly nature that we have is constantly trying to rise up. And God tells us to put to death these things. The things that we try to manipulate people or make people think, the rage, the malice, the lying, all of that is trying to manipulate people so that we would start to think that, hey, we're pretty good. But the fact is, we're not good. The fact is that we're pretty much like Brendan Manning says in A Ragamuffin Gospel. He says we are just one beggar telling another beggar where we're going to find bread. The people that I see in the work that I do are all amazing. They're amazing people. But sometimes what happens is that when people think of people who are experiencing homelessness, or they're thinking of people that are poor, there's an issue sometimes to think that it's us and them. They are us and we are them. So it's very important that we understand that God put us in a place where we can be used. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities so that we're able to do His will on His timetable where and when He wants it. When God wants to work in your life, you need to be able to say, yes, God, do it. And don't let me put up excuses. Because I will tell you, when you want to work for God, when you want to have God work in and through you, it will come at the most inconvenient of times. It'll come when you don't feel you have it all together. But that's when He uses you most. Because He doesn't want you to have all the answers. He doesn't want you to always know that this is the right thing to do or the wrong thing. He wants you to trust in Him. Because when you have the right answers, you have all the right things to say, the fact is you depend on you rather than depending on Him. So when we look at this passage, we have to remember that we're putting to death these things that are in us. And unless we put those things to death on a daily, hourly, minute basis, the fact is they're going to continue to come and try to trip us up. The Lord that I serve, the Lord that you love, everyone that comes in the nature of God, He will use as we allow Him to be used. I have never felt so exhilarated than by having God work in and through a situation that I was involved in. And the fact is that I didn't do a whole heck of a lot. The fact is that God is the one who does it. He wants the option to be able to have you work into someone's life. You can't just say that I'm here alone and this is what I'm going to do. The fact is that He wants us together understanding the needs of people that are in this world, that are right next door to you, that are facing horrible losses. People that we just shared that have had some tremendous pain. Imagine if they didn't know Jesus. Imagine what would be their life, what they would think. When you are in desperation, you want God to come. And you need Him to come. And He will be there. You know, when I think of the work of the people that I've met and seen, one of the things that always strikes me about people who are materially, that don't have a lot of material wealth, is they have a tremendous faith in God. That's number one. But number two is, as I see, many of them have a thankful heart. When was the last time we really thanked God for what He's given us? When was the last time we were grateful for what, how he's worked in our life? Because when we are just thinking that it's all about us, we miss the point of what it's all about. That Jesus came to give us life and to have it abundantly, to have it to the full, John 10:10. So if that's the case, then we need to put ourselves and inject ourselves into lives, the lives of people. We need to understand what God is doing in and through our life. Even today, what happened is that I had a wonderful sermon. I have to say, obviously, I typed it all up. See? And what God said to me is, don't say that. Because the issue is that he wants us to be impelled towards him. He wants us to know him in a deep and loving way. And we won't do it by just having something that's canned. We won't do it by just having glib philosophies. What we will do it is when we are in relationship with someone and they love Jesus, they love you, and you love them. All I'm saying today in reaction to this scripture is that in order for us to minister, we have to be clean ourselves. So it means that we have to say, yes, indeed, I will be there for you. I will put myself in a place where I can be used by you. And as we trust him, and as we work in and through, he works in and through our life, that's when we're going to have success. But the fact is that the more that we are concerned with just ourselves, the more we are concerned with how we're just going to make it on, it's not going to work. God chooses us and is a privilege to be able to work in and through him. So when it comes down to this, it's really important, as the end of the scripture says, that there's no Jew or Greek, Gentile. He doesn't want us to have the prejudice. And sometimes that prejudice runs, even against people that just need are poor. It's embarrassing to seek for help. It's embarrassing to ask people to help you in some situation. Because you say, which is against the American ideal, if I can do it myself, you say, I need you. I need your help. I need someone to work in me. I need you to get with me. There are so many people that live lives that are just locked and are not able to think that anyone really cares. That if no one cares, no one loves me, they just feel isolated and alone. God created you for the purpose to be in relationship with one another. He wouldn't take all of the commandments of God, the counsel of God, and wrap them into loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as well as to love your neighbor as yourself. He wouldn't have put the second clause there unless he wanted you to do it. And so when you do that, you're understanding and aware that God is going to work in and through you, even when it's the most hard, difficult situation. When we go through a difficult situation, God is going to be true and right, even through the hard, difficult situations. I've had them. And they've not been easy, but the Lord is the one who gives strength. He helps us even through the crisis. We sang the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. I don't know if many of you know the story of that hymn. That Horatio Spafford was the author of that hymn. And the story of Horatio Spafford was that he was a rich millionaire in Chicago. He was actually funding a lot of D.L. Moody's campaigns in Chicago. And through the Great Fire of Chicago, he lost a lot of money. And he was just depressed, and he had his wife and two daughters. And he said, well, why don't you go to Europe on vacation? Here, we'll get on the ship and go on vacation and just get away from this. And let me deal with all the things here, and I'll follow you later. And what happened is as that ship was going across the Atlantic, it sank, and he lost his wife and two daughters. So what happened is, as he received news of that, he got on the ship and he asked the captain, where did the ship go down? And when they were over those waters, that's when he penned the words to that song, to that hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. If you want it to be well with your soul, then you need to see that the furnace of affliction is not something that has been put on you unnecessarily. The fact is that that furnace of affliction will derive real gold. That when you go through pain, when you go through hardship, it's not easy. And sometimes you can't see it, but God is there. And He wants to see you through the pain, through the heartache. He wants to see you through to a place where you understand more of what He has for you. It doesn't always give you answers. It doesn't give you all the answers to the book of what we should do. But it's kind of like what He gives in, I think it's Psalms chapter 105, where it says that He is a light unto our steps and a walk unto, I don't know. But anyways, what I'm saying is that He just gives us a little bit of what we can see in front of us. And if we can trust Him to go through that even little bit, that's how we know that He has a bright future for us. So today, I just want you to remember that you were formed by a Creator who loves you. That you were made for a purpose of being able to love your neighbor well. That He's given you gifts, He's given you abilities to be able to do that. That you have an enemy. That enemy is sworn to bring discord in your life. That enemy wants to be able to drag you down. And sometimes he even uses your own earthly nature to do it. If we remember that, then we remember that He's put us into a place where we can be used by Him as long as we trust Him. So let's trust Him today. Let's pray. God, You're so good. I'm so thankful for who You are and what You've done in and through my life. I thank You for what You're doing in the circumstances that we just talked about here today. People that are struggling with addiction. People that have lost loved ones. People that haven't been able to see anything that is going to help them in a financial situation. Lord, You say You are faithful, and You are. So, Lord, we trust You in that fact. And we ask You to bless us as we go from here. We ask this in Your name. Amen.